Arthur Zients is a physicist at Amherst College. His research deals with the experimental foundations of quantum mechanics. He also has a long-standing meditative practice, and for decades he's explored the connection between science and the sacred. In fact, he's talked on various occasions with the Dalai Lama about physics and contemplative life. Zients says the greatest scientists often have a philosophical and even spiritual understanding of reality.
Einstein repeatedly spoke about what he called a religious feeling that he had as he looked into the universe, as he applied himself to his science, as he played his piano even. There was a sense of the sublime, of the miraculous. He called it Spinoza's God, which was a kind of God of geometry, mathematics, wonder. But he rejected any notion of a personal God. And I think that for many scientists, if there is an aspect to the universe and to the work they do that could be called the sacred, it's in the sense that Einstein spoke about it.
It's clear listening to you that you have found a way to integrate your sense of science with your sense of the sacred. Was that always true?
You know, 40 years ago, when I was 20, this was a kind of torment for me, I guess I'd say. You know, I'd abandoned conventional religious life. I'd committed myself to study of physics. But the more I studied the physics as it was given in the textbooks and in the research journals, the more distant I felt from the core dimensions of my life, the spiritual dimensions of my life. And I'd say one of the keys to the change in that relationship was the beginnings of a meditative practice. You could say exploration of the mind, which to me has many of the same disciplined elements that science has, the commitment to experience. This is not fantasy. It's a way of exploring step by step, experientially, who we are, and bringing our thought, our careful analysis to that in ways that can be productive.
Are you saying that you see in meditation a kind of science of spirituality? Are you applying the scientific method to a search for meaning?
Yes. I think you put it very succinctly. There's nothing to keep us from turning that lens of our own understanding within and exploring the nature of the mind directly, using also the kind of care, rational thought, and so forth, that we're accustomed to bringing to the outer domains.
I want to explore the ways in which you see these two streams diverging and potentially joining. And I think maybe one way is to go back and ask you why it was that at the age of 20 you had abandoned conventional religion. Was it studying science? Was it studying physics that drove you away initially from spirituality?
Well, I was raised in a relatively conventional Catholic household. I felt that there's a certain understanding of the sacraments that's had in Catholicism. Namely, it doesn't matter who the priest is, what their moral stature is, what their intelligence is. I mean, it's just a person up there who's performing a kind of ritual which transforms wine and bread into the blood and body of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're presenting yourself in a way which is flattering or unflattering. And in many cases, the priests that I met, I didn't have a lot of respect for. That felt somehow inappropriate, that there should be a depth of spiritual striving at least. And I didn't sense that. I sensed a kind of resignation or ineffectiveness somehow within that priesthood. So I turned away from that. What I was looking for was a spirituality that was ardent and more striving, I'd say. And then I didn't find it until I took up the practices associated with that striving, namely extended meditation and contemplation. Later on, I began to realize that this practice that I was undertaking seemed to be in alignment with the kinds of experiments, if you will, that I was doing in the laboratory. In other words, they both are domains of experience, domains of empirical results, one the interior of my mind and the other the exterior of my laboratory.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? You talked earlier about Einstein's belief in what he called Spinoza's God. It seems to me, I may be wrong, that in an earlier time, there was an easier connection between science and the sacred, that someone like Einstein could be attracted to Spinoza's God while clearly being a great scientist. And he wasn't alone in this, was he?
You know, most of the early great scientists, whether it's Max Planck, Niels Bohr, Erwin Schrödinger, Heisenberg, Einstein, These were all extraordinarily well-educated human beings, and so they had an inherently philosophical orientation towards that which they were studying, discovering, bringing into the world. They weren't technicians, if you will. They were thoughtful, reflective, you could even say contemplative in their approach to the mysteries they were unearthing. And in a very short period of time, you know, miraculous things were being brought into the world. And so when they went off walking together, which they often did, or sailing on the seas of Germany and Austria and the like, they had the most extraordinary conversations. Heisenberg documents them, and they are ruminating on the implications of what they're doing constantly, because they realize it's a whole new universe now. Space and time have been changed. The fundamental laws of the micro world have been discovered and found to be quite different than anything that classical physics had presented. What in the world could this mean, and mean in the largest possible sense about our own nature, how we know the world, and so on? So these are the most powerful existential issues that we confront. Now, that brought them, you could say, into the domain of the sacred, but most of them shied away from and even were rather clear about the fact that this did not mean that they adopted a conventional religious life or attitude. They stayed on this side of that divide.
Well, because there are a lot of things to ask you about that, but this thing that strikes me right away, given the subject that we're discussing, can science be sacred, is that so few of your colleagues these days seem to be talking about these things. I mean, Stephen Hawking has just written a book arguing that science is all you need, that science itself can explain the origins of the universe. And he says that philosophy is dead because it hasn't kept up with developments in modern science. What's going on? Why would a scientist of Hawking's stature want to say that?
Well, there's a kind of interesting way in which I agree with Hawking. So in one sense, it should be obvious that I'm completely coming at this whole question from another standpoint, from another angle. At the same time, I think he's right. Simone Weil had this great line where she says, "The absence of God is the most marvelous testimony of perfect love." One of the favorite lines of mine, the absence of God. In some sense, the greatest gift that the sacred can offer us is its absence. If God were everywhere present, then there would be no question about belief in God, right? It'd be like, basically like believing in chairs and tables. But the absence of God poses a question. Is there or isn't there? Is there the sacred or is there not? Is it something we can come to know or not? In other words, we're left free. And I think that gift of freedom is one of the most important and significant aspects of our lives. Now, what that means is God is plausibly deniable, you know, is in a position where it's unclear whether there is a God or isn't a God. So Stephen Hawking can say, "I don't think there is one." And he can be arguing from a clear and adequate understanding of science. On the other hand, I think if one engages the question more fully, becomes more reflective, more contemplative, explores the inner life, one begins to develop a sense that, no, this world, both the outer world of science, but also the inner world of contemplative experience, demands in the end that we acknowledge the existence of something beyond ourselves, which we might call the sacred. So I think he rightly points to the fact that God is not necessary for a physical universe. But you can ask, you know, is he necessary for an inner or moral universe that we discover within? And in my experience is, to an objective, open-minded awareness, yes.
That's Arthur Zients, a physicist at Amherst College. He's been one of the organizers of the Mind and Life Dialogues between scientists and the Dalai Lama.